Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Would you like for your Heavenly Father to come to your home at your current address in whatever city you live for a very personal visit? Would you like for him to sit down in your living room, kitchen table, for a time of precious time of fellowship? Over the years, my fine wife, that's you.
Thank you, darling.
We made a lot of important decisions sitting around the kitchen table. I could continue posing hypothetical scenarios, but I think you've gotten the point, or at least you've been mentally prepared for what's coming next. Do you realize that our great God Jehovah he'll do just that at any time in any place? There's only one thing required for this divine visitation: praise.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel."
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Praise him for who he is. Praise him for what he's done, what he's now doing, and what he's going to do for you and those you love. Not convinced that God's ready to sit down with you? Then let's look at the Hebrew word of three meanings and three key passages of Scripture. First off, the word inhabitant is the Hebrew word H3427. And according to Strong's Concordance, it means to dwell, remain, sit, abide. Second, the word praises is the Hebrew word H8416, and according to Strong's Concordance, it means praise, song or hymn of praise, adoration, thanksgiving paid to God, an act of general or public praise. And finally, the word Israel is the Hebrew word H3478, and according to Strong's Concordance, it means God prevails.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. Or the name of the descendants and the nation of descendants of Jacob. To remove all doubt, focus on Acts 3:25.
Acts 3, verse 25 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "You are the descendants, sons of the prophets, and heirs of the covenant which God made and gave to your forefathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, the heir, shall all the families of the earth be blessed in benefit."
We can know with absolute scriptural documentation that God is always in our presence when we're lifting up his name in praise and thanksgiving. He clearly inhabits the praises of his people, and that includes your praise. Now, believe it or not, the purpose of this teaching is not to talk about Psalm 22:3. So you can consider everything up to this point as an appetizer, as we move to the main course and get excited. Hallelujah. I was reading Zephaniah. That's right, Zephaniah. Now, this book is located just after Habakkuk and right before Haggai. If you need more directions, it starts on page 988 in my Bible. And yes, I'm laughing as I say that. Here's a verse that we felt stirred to talk about.
Zephaniah 3, verse 17 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a Savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction. And in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exult over you with singing."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Glory to God. God is in the midst of us because he loves his people. And we personally know that God saves
because he reached down and lifted us up out of a life of sin. But we got to tell you, and I think, we both think it's kind of cool that God is rejoicing over each of us, so much so that he's singing about us.
Mm. King James Version says, God will joy over thee with singing. The Contemporary English Version of that verse says, he celebrates and sings because of you, and he will refresh your life with his love.
Hallelujah.
Think of that.
He will refresh our lives with love. Having God singing over us is so much cooler than anything ever shown on The Voice or seen at any concert. However, that's not what stirred in our spirits as we talked about this verse in Zephaniah. It was the part of the scripture that says, and in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. Now, right now, we're going to expose one of the favorite tactics of the devil. He is continually bringing up our past sins and mistakes. The devil likes to remind us of the times that we've joined in on a dirty joke in front of coworkers just trying to fit in. The enemy likes to remind us of the time we didn't list all our income on our income tax returns. The enemy likes to remind us of sexually inappropriate conversation, behaviors, and actions that you may have had with coworkers or neighbors. The enemy likes to remind us of the nights that we may have stumbled into our homes under the influence of anything but the Holy Spirit. The enemy likes to remind us of foolish financial decisions we've made. The enemy likes to remind us how we smart-mouthed the boss just before we got fired from the job. This kind of listing can go on for pages. But the bottom line is this. The enemy of your destiny, likes to remind you of your past sins, even when God has forgiven them. Regardless of what you've done, God forgives all your sins.
1 John 1:9, a very good scripture to know. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
To be unrighteous, you must have first been righteous. So even if you messed up after you were born again, our loving Heavenly Father will forgive you.
The Amplified Bible translation of 1 John 1:9 says, we'll forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will, in purpose, thought, and action.
If that isn't good news, just wait, because it gets even better, because God not only forgives, he forgets.
That's right.
Our dear friend, Bob Harrington, chaplain of Bourbon Street, who went to his reward in glory last year, always liked to tell the story of how he woke up one night in a cold sweat from a really bad dream, the R-rated kind. Brother Bob told us that he immediately slid out of bed on his knees and started repenting before the Lord. His wife woke up, asked him what he was doing. He told her he was repenting for a bad dream that he just had. She asked him to tell her about the dream so she could join him in the prayer of agreement. As only he could say it, Brother Bob told his wife that he'd handle the repenting. He said that he knew that God would forgive and forget, but that she may forgive, but she'd never forget. The scripture says, in his love, he would be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. Need a little more scriptural proof?
Micah 7, verse 19 says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And as if that isn't good enough, Jeremiah 31, verse 34 in the New Living Translation says, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hebrews 8, verse 12 in the New Living Translation says, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. So Old Testament, repeated in the New Testament.
That's exactly right.
And the Message Bible translation of Isaiah 43, verse 25 says, Yes, I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins.
Hallelujah. How can God bring up your past sins if he doesn't remember them or keep a list of them? God will not bring up your past, but the enemy will. But he can only get away with it if we let him.
That's right.
That's why we have to forget the past and move forward.
Philippians 3, verses 13 through 15 in the New King James Version. It says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
God will never, never determine our future based on our past. And we can all shout hallelujah about that.
He is a forgiving God. And as we love him, we just want to please him more. The enemy wants to bother us more. But the point of it is God is on our side.
Amen. As we're praising God, Scripture says he sits down to abide with us.
Mm.
And we never have to worry about him bringing up our past. Get that down inside of you and never forget it.
In Ephesians, it says the Holy Spirit, this is in the Classic Amplified, indwells our innermost being and personality. I love that because he's always there. And you know the praises we talked about in Psalm? The praises that he inhabits. We're just stirring up the Holy Spirit that lives within us.
Amen.
And bringing his presence up into reality and right there with us. Any point at any time, we can praise his holy name.
Hallelujah. And that's something to shout about.
It is. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. We had a wonderful time last night with two dear friends, longtime friends. Doc and Mary. It's a wonderful time.
It is.
We're on a little ministry trip. In fact, Sunday night at 5, I'm preaching for Robert Laird, amazing man of God, who wrote the books God's Generals.
That's right.
A number of volumes for adults and for kids, and a number of other great books. He's a prolific author and just a good friend.
That's right.
Preaching for him Sunday night in Orlando at 5 o'clock at Embassy Christian Center in Winter Park, Florida, actually. Community Center, 5 o'clock. If you're close by, drive there. Not you can pray for us. And anyhow, we love you. We appreciate you.
And until tomorrow.
Before tomorrow.
All right.
If you're blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. And yes, if you're blessed by the teaching at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.